Well, there's an incredible interest in renewable energy at the moment, with many, many different techniques being explored to get us away from that grip of, say, coal and gas. Now, one of the new technologies being explored is so-called artificial photosynthesis, the idea that we are chemically rebuilding energy on a really fundamental level, echoing what plants do. Joining me on the phone right now is Shannon Bonker. He's a researcher with the School of Chemistry at Monash University, and he's been doing some amazing research taking inspiration from plants on alternative fuels. Shannon, why should we be looking into chemically rebuilding fuels? I mean, how does this sort of compare to sustainable energies such as wind and solar?
Well, it's not a competitor for wind and solar by any means. It's a storage mechanism. So when we use most of the technologies we have available today, wind, solar, they're intermittent. So we've only got power at limited time intervals, with the sun certainly only during the day. So in terms of storing that power, we can't really just put it away. And by reassembling a fuel, we've then stored that energy and we can then release it later on.
Well, that's quite interesting. I mean, it seems like it's really looking at it from a different kind of approach rather than sort of just how we harvest that energy.
It definitely is. It's the way nature does it, actually. So when we're burning fossil fuels, we're essentially burning, I suppose, stored solar energy that's been compressed for us over time. And I think as we progress, we really have to be able to do that ourselves. By doing that, we're not only just releasing things into the atmosphere, but we're then capturing as well. And of course, anything that's in a closed cycle is sustainable. And I think that's something we really need to look at.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you're looking at for when we're talking about developing new fuels at chemical levels and new storage?
There are a few problems. So the simplest fuel that we could possibly make would be hydrogen by splitting water. And we then, when we burn the hydrogen, we produce water again. So that's a very nice cycle. We have lots of water here with us on Earth. So that works very nicely. But when we talk about hydrogen, we're talking about a gas, which is no doubt much more difficult to handle than a liquid fuel. So there's definitely challenges associated with that. When we start talking about more carbon-based fuels, there's definitely issues in collecting carbon dioxide from the air, which is something that plants do, but they do it very slowly, and we really need to do it a bit faster. Much in the way that sort of nature evolved flight with birds, but then in time, humanity sort of surpassed that with the aeroplane, which is, let's say, somewhat faster. So we need to have a similar sort of situation there.
So you're saying that if we look at sort of artificial photosynthesis, we'd be looking at refining how quickly that's able to process?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'd have to do it much faster to sort of meet the oil usage and oil demands of today.
And do you think there's a big future in that sort of artificial photosynthesis? I mean, looking at sort of mimicking plants for future energy requirements?
Honestly, I do, and not just because I'm in the field. That's something that I think is the only future. I think there's other technologies that will appear, but I think that's the one that will in the end have to take over. And the reason I say that is because over sort of 3 billion years of evolution, that's the system that life's come up with as the best one. And I'd say that sort of none of our technologies today have 3 billion years worth of testing behind them. So when we look at that, we can say, well, this system really has been time-tested, and it works. And much in the way that with things like batteries, which I don't want to slam at all because I think there's some fantastic technologies coming out with them, but I think for something on the scale that we're talking about here, there's some real advantages to having fuels. And that's something we experience even in our everyday life. I mean, no one would talk about using their mobile phone, their iPhone for years on end because the battery's going to degrade over time.
Mm.
But the fuel tank in your car is immune to that.
Well, that's a very interesting perspective on it. I hadn't thought of it that way. Now, look, in terms of what your sort of research is looking at, are we talking about any byproducts, or are we really looking at sort of the classic photosynthesis byproduct of oxygen?
That's exactly what we're looking at, oxygen. So any pure photosynthesis process, well, we'll be putting out oxygen and putting out hydrogen. And in nature, the plants aren't, of course, storing hydrogen gas, but they're then using that to then react it with carbon dioxide and make sort of carbon-based products, like the green matter of the plant. So that's something that I guess we can really look at as the next step and the future step to then get that water splitting step right, evolve that oxygen, and then try and step towards a liquid fuel.
Now, has your early research proven quite sort of, you know, efficient in terms of the energy it's producing?
Absolutely. So we built a system just recently, and we set some world records in terms of splitting water into hydrogen and oxygen. And we beat those records by quite a long way, sort of 22% compared to about 12% energy conversion. And so 20% may not sound like a lot, but when we talk about the amount of solar energy available, there's about 5,000 times more solar energy hitting the Earth than we need, or probably even more than that.
Mm.
So we really only need to capture a tiny amount of energy for this to be a workable process.
Shannon, some remarkable research and some remarkable results. Thank you very much for sharing it with Breakfast this morning.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.